verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. First off, I'd just like to say what an honor it is to be up here. Been up here once before, but it was mostly a testimonial Sunday. So thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting us, Amanda and myself, as we go forth and trying to figure out where God has called us in our lives and what we can do to grow our faith in that calling. And to really learn and hone in on what he wants us to do. So thank you. So I'd like to start today with reference on the scripture that we have in front of us. And I'd like to just pause and just read it one more time. And as I read it, just think about the words that are there. I had a professor in college one time that said, you need to really read things three times quickly to remember or to understand what they say. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, again, reiterating. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said, came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the end of the age." So I think to really understand what that scripture is trying to tell us is understanding the word disciple. I remember growing up, I had youth programs. We did a lot of things with the youth and the, you know, disciple now, disciple this, disciple, disciple, disciple. Wanted to teach us how to be disciples. But one thing I never got out of that was the meaning of the word disciple. And I think as we go on in today's age and our culture and how we do things, we undermine the word disciple. We go strictly for a book definition of the word, which is follower, pupil. Guys, you can't just be a follower or a pupil, right? You can't just be a student. We can't just come to church and say that all is well. We're disciples of Christ. You can't just take it for the face value of what it is. I'm pretty sure Jesus wasn't sitting there after his death, after resurrection, talking to his disciples, saying, Merriam-Webster says follower, guys. All y'all got to do is say y'all believe in me and follow me. It's all good. It's right here. He said it. Good. We don't need to do anything else. No. No. Because disciple to Jesus wasn't just a follower. It was a doer. It was a goer. It was understanding what it took to live in Christ's word, to honor God in everything we do, everything and nothing less, right? So we sit here today, and I think we're content on the word disciple and where we can go with that. I think we get a little complacent in how we go forth and making disciples. Discipleship growing up was going to church on Wednesdays, going to church on Sundays, honoring my mom and dad, saying nice things to people, but not defending those people that I was nice to, not taking care of my brothers and sisters that I went to school with, just standing in the back, because I had already committed my life to Christ, but I was no student of his, merely a follower. Student implies that we're ever learning, right? You're never a graduate of Christianity. You're never a graduate disciple. You don't get your PhD. You don't get to move forward up a ladder. It's continuing education. Continuing to understand where God is calling us. Continuing to understand what that word means. I was mentioning to my wife Maggie last night as I was kind of running through here in the rough draft. Has anyone here seen the movie Office Space? So in the movie Office Space, there's a scene where Jennifer Aniston, one of her earlier roles in film, was a waitress at a TGI Fridays, and she got in trouble from her manager because she wasn't wearing all the flair. You know, the minimum was 15 pieces of flair, and she had her buttons. We've all been to the restaurants in the 90s where you had the stickers and the buttons and everything else they had to make themselves pop out. We're having a good time here at TGI Fridays. Well, she got in trouble for only doing the bare minimum. And I started thinking about that, the bare minimum. She quit her job because the bare minimum rule. If I can't get by with doing the bare minimum, I don't want to be part of it. Leave that. I can go make this money somewhere else. We get by doing the bare minimum, I feel. We're good with coming to church. We're good on Sundays in our walls. We're good on Mondays, typically for the start. But as we go forth throughout the week, guys, I feel that the flair just kind of runs out. You get that midweek bump on Wednesdays, or if you're a part of a small group, if you're a part of a men's group or a women's group or any kind of group where you're in fellowship celebrating the name of Christ, you get that little bump. But we don't carry it with us, right? So this is the bare minimum. Going to class, being a follower. I want my God to see me in all my flair, right? I don't want the bare minimum 15 pieces. I don't want to leave back and say, no, that's for the birds, because I'm good with doing the bare minimum. The bare minimum is a shallow effort that we're content with. And I'm not, you know, beating down, because we all have this. It's just a matter of saying it, right? And understanding that that's not where we're meant to be. We're meant for so much more. Christ says we're more than conquerors. Well, be more than conquerors. Be more than a student. Be more than a follower. Advertise that flair in everything we do. Don't be content coming on Mondays and saying, or Sundays and saying, hey, how are you? How are you? How are you? I've done my job for the week. I've tithed. I've given my time. I've come to church. No, guys, so see, when we start really dissecting discipleship, sure, it's all those things. It's every single one of those things. But again, we refer back to that one part of the meaning of discipleship, which is student, which is evolving every single day in everything we do. With that, I started thinking about, well, how can you really just, instead of saying disciple, how can we really expand on that? How can we figure out what exactly it may mean, or what steps can we take into developing more of a discipleship for us, for our brothers and sisters at church, for our brothers and sisters in our community across the world. God said, make disciples of all nations. But before that, he said, go. He didn't say sit and stay and hang out, say you love me. No, he said, give it all up. Go, move. Get off your tail. Let's go do something. You can't sit, stand, and preach a word. You can't stand and just gather in together with one idea. You've got to expand that idea. The church doesn't grow within four walls. And I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about God's community, right? We can't expand and make disciples of all nations with the bare minimum. So we have to live with intent. We have to be intentional disciples. I started thinking about that. Well, how do you live with intent? How do you become an intentional disciple? Well, it begins the moment you walk out of the doors. It begins with the stranger you see. It begins with the old man you meet, the old woman you meet, who may need a bite of food. I was at a gas station a couple of weeks ago. Old man sitting on a stack of firewood out on 150 by Ross Bridge. And that man sat there and asked four people that I saw, four people as I was pumping gas, got a dollar for food? It's an old man, an elder in the community, right? No one would give the man a dollar. No one would even turn around and take him in to get him something to eat. He wasn't asking, hey, I'm homeless, need money, and then go hop in his Mazda and drive off to his home in Ross Bridge. He was asking for a bite to eat. Four people passed him and ignored. And we've all heard the stories in the Bible. I mean, you take a number, right? Look it up. You can find a couple of different ones. I guess being an intentional disciple is taking that man, not only giving him something to eat, but make sure that he has plenty to drink. Make sure that that man has a place to stay, somewhere warm. It's those opportunities that we have an opportunity to live with intent and be intentional disciples. In that case, bringing them to the church. Hey, I may not be able to afford you a place to stay, but I know where we can find you help. What an opportunity to spread the love and the word of Christ, right? And living intentionally, that's just a small example of how we can live intentionally. Guys, we can be confident in our beliefs. In today's society, we go out, everyone's got a flag, everyone's got a parade, everyone is shouting their beliefs so everyone can hear them. Except us. Because we live in a world where it's better to be standoffish, right? We don't want to beat you with a Bible. We don't want to be too hard pressing up front. We want to stand off. Just, hey, I love you, but I'm just going to stand off. You'll be good. I've shown you my love. No, that's not living with intent. Living in it with intent is confidence in our beliefs. In a world where everyone shouts their beliefs, what is wrong with shouting ours? What's wrong with saying, I believe in Christ? I'm not saying you have to go drag people, kick people, get up in someone's face and say you're wrong. No, because it's not our job to judge, right? Again, living with intent. Don't judge them. Show love for them. Be a student of Christ intentionally. We don't have to do it just in our groups, just when we're around people that we want to supply a show of intent. No, because a show of intent is an intent. That's a facade. Live intentionally. Become an intentional disciple. It's hard. It's hard. He said, go. Go and make disciples of all nations. If we don't follow through, then it's all for nothing, right? Then it's conditional discipleship. I'll be a disciple, but only if my terms are met, right? I'll be a disciple on Thursdays, on Wednesdays, and Sundays. Fridays for me, Saturdays for football. And my God, is it Super Bowl Sunday? We got to get hot wings are cooking. No, y'all. We got to practice what we preach. We have to be a student every day for Christ. And if we strive for that, are we going to hit it? No, because that would be perfection, right? There's only one perfection in this world or other world, and that is God. But if we don't strive for that, then it's all for naught, right? God says he's going to be with us till the end. Only in that end will we find that perfection, and will we ultimately reach that goal of unconditional discipleship? Live with intent. Don't have conditions on how we celebrate God. Love him in the moments. Give everything and nothing less. Surrender all.
It's hard to do, very hard to do. And we're going to wake up every day, but you're going to make mistakes. But the Lord grants us forgiveness for all that, right? In fact, we build on that forgiveness that we can do whatever we want because he's going to forgive me on Saturday when I pray. Live with intent. Be intentional in what we do for Christ and what we do for others. Just a step, guys. Just a baby step. Can we pray, please? Loving and gracious Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your name. Thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for giving us words to live by and words to be a student of. And we grow every day, Lord. Lord, give us the courage to stand up for our beliefs and be there for our beliefs and not just to bow down so we can back away and be socially acceptable for others. Lord, give us the strength to give you everything and nothing less. Give us the strength to be the inlet and not have you be our outlet. Let's be the inlet for you, Lord. And you could plant that cornerstone inside of us for all to see. In your loving name, we pray. Amen.